What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line tonight, I got my pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It seems like we're going to be back sooner than we expected for the NBA season.
It's just a slight time off, man. Banger in the paint. I don't know if you can get back to that, get back to it so quickly. Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
You know what? I thought I was going to miss the NBA a lot, but off-season news is pretty nice. You know, it keeps it mildly interesting.
So we saw ESPN drop this last week. Obviously, the big names, Woj, Windhorst, blah, 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 Zach Lowe, you know the main guys who do the reporting for them. They reported that the NBA is looking at starting the season a lot sooner than we thought. I mean, for the past couple of weeks, we were expecting like a early January start date, you know, like around MLK Day. I know we already talked about that, but dude, we're looking at December 22nd as the start of the season. Training camp to start on December 1st, potentially, or a mid-season break for like 2 weeks. I'm not sure for what, like what that's going to entail. And then an end-of-season play-in tournament, similar. I'm assuming something similar to what we had this year. With the who was in that final game? The Blazers and who? Memphis. So I'm assuming that's how it's going to be. And to top it all off, we got the NBA draft in 3 weeks on November 18th, just to start everything off. Dude, like, there's no way the Lakers can be happy about this, right? I mean, if you're talking about a guy like LeBron who's been around, this is going to be his 17th or 18th. Who knows? This could be like his 40th year at this point, and he's still doing the same things, but. There's no way someone like LeBron is going to be happy starting the season so early, right? And it's the Lakers. They got to be opening night.
I mean, there's been rumblings about him potentially playing in the first game and then taking a month off. So that would be very interesting to see. Maybe the NBA will just do that. Maybe the NBA will have like a big blowout on Christmas, have 5 games in a row, and then give every NBA fan a taste, right? And then after that, just like go dark for a month and then start on MLK Day.
I'm going to say that like the NBA starting before Christmas is like the NBA's way of giving us a little Christmas present for the fans. But honestly, like there's an argument to be made that the season should really start December 22nd, because if you look at, there's 8 teams that actually haven't played a game since March. And there was many teams that didn't even make the playoffs. Or let's just say if you didn't make it past the second round, you've been off since pretty much end of August. So that gives you September, October, November, and then half of December. And if they ever plan on getting any resumption of a regular season, they need to start somewhere. So I really think that it probably won't happen, but that the signs are there. Like a lot of these players have not played for 4, 5, 8 months.
At the same time, though, there's been players that have gone on the record recently. Brogdon was on the Jump today saying that all the players want to start in February or start on MLK Day. So they're not very happy about the solution to start on the 22nd of December. But, you know, if the NBA says we're going to make this much more money, and that way we don't have to hold back some of your salaries and escrow in order to do that, then your players have no choice in the matter, right? Like, do you want to get paid an extra few million per year? Yes. So you might just have to go forward and just have a shorter, it's not even summer anymore, so a shorter couple months off.
Yeah, and if you look at it for like the big guys, like not even just LeBron, but think about Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, John Wall's contracts, like that level of player. If you're looking at like a 30% reduction in salary if you start in January or February, hell yeah, you're going to start in December. God damn, is that even a question? If you're looking at Chris Paul, who makes $40 million a year, and you're going to take away 30% of his income, there is no way that he's going to say no to it. Like, I understand the reasoning. Obviously, the players don't want to get back too soon. But at the end of the day, man, if you're going to get paid out that much, there's no way I can see the NBPA really causing a real huff about this. And even for the teams who didn't make the playoffs but made the bubble, right? So I'm talking about, you know, San Antonio, Washington, Sacramento, those teams, the amount of time between their last game to December is pretty much the same amount of time as the normal offseason. There's really nothing to be concerned about other than, you know, the obvious looming potential threat of coronavirus taking over the world. But aside from that, these guys, they basically have nothing else to worry about, right? I don't know, Raj, like, I don't know. I don't even know. How do you say no to that much money that's about to come out of your pocket?
Ultimately, this is going to be a league decision, and there might be a few players, obviously, like LeBron being one of the biggest stars to probably sit out a good part of the early season. But I think a lot of the younger players are eager to play. I think obviously just right now, we're less than 2 weeks almost of being done watching the finals. And I think people are going to want to watch sports, and basketball doing such a great job with the bubble, kind of having a plan going forward. Again, we talked about like probably half the league hasn't played basketball since end of or middle of August, let's say. So having 4 or 5 months off is a good amount of time. And I really do think that the players are going to ultimately decide that money matters most. I think no matter when they start, there are going to be some players that take time off. Like even if they start on MLK Day, LeBron's probably going to end up sitting a few games or work himself into game shape. The same way with a lot of the veteran players like Chris Paul, Kawhi, like they are going to load manage and depending on how they set up the season. And the NBA really wants to have as many games as possible, really to maximize their TV revenue. There's also kind of talks about what's going to happen with the Olympic basketball, right? That's supposed to happen in June, and obviously that's all up in the air. But hey, the NBA season needs to start, and starting it in January means everything's going to be compressed. And is that a good thing? Are teams like the Lakers and Clippers going to be happy playing 10 games in 24 days?
There's a few main factors going into all this. Obviously, the first one is money. The second one is the length of the season, as you mentioned. But that all comes down to, as you mentioned, whether or not they actually are able to finish before the Olympics. And also, they want to make sure they finish before the summertime before, you know, other sports start again. So that way, they're not competing again against, you know, football, baseball, etc., right? Like, you don't have all the sports going on at the same time where the NBA is going to have a ratings problem. And they obviously want to finish before July starts and before the Olympics start as well. So at least whoever gets eliminated from these teams in the playoffs can go play in the Olympics if they want to, and then obviously guys and lottery teams too. So they really have a tight 6 to 7 month crunch, and it really can't go beyond June. So, I mean, if they have a COVID outbreak, they're totally screwed, because either they're going to have to extend the season or they're going to have to, you know, cancel that 2 week hiatus, which used to be the All-Star break, which they're not going to have this year, most likely. They haven't announced that yet, but it seems like a foregone conclusion that's not going to happen. So, you know, obviously they want to start in December. Some players aren't going to be happy about that. They might have some scenarios where guys like LeBron sit out games, but if it makes them millions or hundreds of millions of dollars more, you got to go forward with it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Raj, you said they want to make sure they get the TV money. 72 games. You know, that's all the local TV networks need. 72 games. So expect, like you said, expect a compressed season. Expect COVID outbreaks are bound to happen, right? Like, if you're not going to bubble like the same way that they did in Orlando, where you're, and now you're just going to have teams traveling. Sure, you'll try to schedule so that teams stay in the same region for most of their time. You know, so if you're playing the Nets, you're going to play the Knicks at the same time, and you know, like the other teams in the Northeast Division kind of thing. That makes sense. That's easy, but you're still exposing your players and your staff to the outside world some way, somehow. Even if not directly, hotels, travel, these guys got to eat somewhere, you know, like all those kind of factors have to come into effect. So it'll be interesting. I mean, the NFL is doing the same thing. They obviously have outbreaks in a couple of teams that we've seen, you know, the Titans, the Dolphins, the Jaguars. But the difference is that the NFL is only like right now, or is supposed to only go once a week. Whereas the NBA is looking at teams playing 3 times a week. You know what I mean? So with the NFL, there's at least that bit of time where, oh, I get a positive test on Monday, but, you know, maybe the guy can come back for Sunday. Or worst case, we'll just push the game a day or two into the middle of the week and have like a random Tuesday or Wednesday night game. But the NBA can't really do that. You know, it's not as simple when you have 72 games to plan for as opposed to 16. So, I don't know. It'll be different. I guess we'll see. Hopefully nothing bad happens to the players or their staff. Family members, you know, hopefully everyone can stay safe, but it'll be interesting. Josh, I want to ask you this specifically. Where are the Raptors going to play, man?
Hopefully in Toronto. I know Kansas City's, you know, going all out on Twitter right now with their mayor talking about it nonstop and their council people talking about it nonstop, but I think ultimately they're going to be ending up playing in Toronto and maybe in front of an empty stadium.
In Toronto, really? You think the government will allow American players to come in? That's the problem, right?
I think they will. I think ultimately they'll work out a deal for where they're able to play in December and going forward.
You're an optimistic fella, man. If they didn't let the Blue Jays have teams coming in.
Whatever they do, don't have them play in Buffalo. That seems like the most depressing city in the state. So don't have them play there or else you're going to lose every game. I don't want that.
And you're going to lose any momentum your franchise has gained in the last, 5 years.
That's why you're going to
turn back into the 2005 Raptors.
I hope Rafael Rougeau is tying up his laces right now, man. But let's move on. I want to talk about some major news that's happened. Yeah, there's been a lot of front office move over the past week, guys. I guess we got to start with Philly, right? I mean, this is probably the biggest move of all. Daryl Morey leaves his job in Houston. They mutually agreed to part ways. He and ownership obviously didn't get along, even though they said they did. Last year, we saw Daryl Morey bringing in Russell Westbrook, who was probably the exact opposite type of player that Daryl Morey would like to have on his roster. So, the signs were on the wall. Anyways, he goes out, says thank you to Houston, gives this whole speech saying that he wants to take time off, spend time with his kids, they're going off to school, they're doing this and that. Boom. 2 weeks later, Daryl Morey expected to sign with the Philadelphia 76ers as the president of basketball operations. Not GM, that's already Elton Brand's role. This is beyond that. And with a brand new coach in Doc Rivers. Obviously, Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey go way back. They were together in Boston, in the early 2000s. Doc was a coach there. Morey was in the front office staff as well. So, they go back. They have a relationship. But I'm more interested to know what the hell Daryl Morey is going to do with his two superstars, right? Like, Josh, we've seen the Rockets over the past, how long has Morey been there? 13 years, right? So in those 13 years, they were pretty much a playoff team every year, mild contender every year, if not an actual contender. Right. And now he's going to go to a team that, has two guys that play big, very efficient players, except, none of them can shoot threes, which is the most efficient shot. And Ben Simmons can't shoot free throws, which is probably the second or third most efficient shot in the game. So what do you do with this roster if you're Daryl Morey? Because, Josh, you love your stats. You love your analytics. What do you do with this type of roster?
I think you have to try to turn over the supporting cast first. I think you have to try to give them at least half a year to the trade deadline. And, based on what we've seen so far with the Simmons and Embiid pairing, the most success they really had besides, having Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris with them on the same team, and that was almost a super team, really. But before that, the best team was when they had Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli running around screens and hitting open shots to help out Simmons and Embiid. So I think we're going to see Daryl Morey try to trade. Obviously, Horford's going to be the first guy to go if he's able to actually trade him, which he seems to have more value based on his contract right now since it is shorter than Tobias Harris. And there's not many teams that I think will be looking at trading for a guy who's making, $30 million a year? $25, $30 million a year for the next 4 years? So, Horford's only on a 2-year contract, and he still has value around the NBA. Like, you look at teams like, Sacramento, Atlanta, that actually need a center. I think they're going to be in the market for that type of player. But in terms of Philadelphia, they just have to surround those two guys with a lot of shooting. And I think they have to start looking at guys like, bringing back a guy like J.J. Redick even.
So you basically just want a bunch of shooters.
Yeah, I think that you have to really surround these guys with a lot of three-point shooting and get, the three-point shot attempts up. Because I think they were 27th or so, in terms of three-point shooting efficiency and three-point attempts. In the NBA this year. And I think they shot 30 or 33% of their shots in mid-range too. So that's going to be going out the window next year, which is why you would think at least a guy like Horford is going to be gone, if not Tobias Harris as well, if they're able to work some magic. But their roster is going to look entirely different come game one of next season.
For me, I know we can talk about the roster changes, and I definitely think there will be some, but I think the biggest story from the hiring of Daryl Morey is now you kind of have three egos in management that have big voices that have tried to steer their respective teams in different directions and honestly, they haven't had much like actual success. I would say Daryl Morey has been a very successful GM for the Houston Rockets. Obviously, they didn't ultimately win a championship, but he was successful in that sense. But you have Morey, and then you have Elton Brand, who obviously made some big acquisitions, signed Tobias Harris, gave Al Horford that big deal, shipped away Jimmy Butler, made some big decisions. And then obviously you bring in a coach like Doc Rivers, who, again, it's hard to ignore the fact that he's had some very good teams on paper, but he hasn't been able to put it all together. So I really wonder whose voice is going to really have the biggest impact on this team. I really think that's going to be a bigger issue than the actual talent on the floor. Like, what direction is this team going to go? Because if Daryl Morey really tries to play a more of a stats-based game and shooting higher percentage shots, traditionally, I don't think Doc is the coach for that. And I really am obviously surprised by the hiring of Morey with Doc, with Brand. I think the organization is going to go through a tumultuous period, really getting an identity. I really don't see it working. But in terms of roster moves, I think Al Horford will be moved, but I think his value is really going to be in the trade deadline, when there's going to be a team that's probably exceeding expectations, who wants to make a push, and who will take on Al Horford's salary for a chance of success. But I really look at that contract of Tobias Harris as almost being, you're paying, I would say, a good NBA starter superstar money. And Tobias Harris has no reason to move. And I think in his contract, he has a trade kicker that if he gets moved, he gets a 5% bonus on his salary. So that salary is enormous. And if Daryl Morey is going to make any big changes to that roster, yes, getting rid of Horford should free up some space, but you're still going to have Embiid, who you're eventually going to have to pay max money, Ben Simmons, who's going to want max money, Tobias, who you're paying max money. Like, the numbers don't add up. So I really see next season to be a pretty bad season for the Sixers. Lots of drama.
There's going to be a lot of drama, but all these guys have already gotten paid too. Like, Embiid and Simmons both got max contracts recently, right? So I think the ownership has to decide too, like, how much money they really want to spend on a failing roster as well. Like, maybe they just look to get rid of, you know, Horford if they can, to a team like Charlotte that has cap space, and just take back whatever they can just to get, yeah, you know, alleviate the money that's going out to these guys. I mean, if they're able to trade Tobias Harris for a player that is only on a 1 year or 2 year contract, maybe they just do that just to dump him. And then you see what Embiid and Simmons can do with not a, you know, bare roster, I mean, not a bare bones roster, but Daryl Morey is pretty good. Like, him and Sam Hinkie sort of work on the edges to where they're able to get a lot of value from guys that they sign or guys that, you know, they find in the second round. Sort of like what Toronto's been doing the last few years as well. You know, Sam Hinkie found TJ McConnell, you know, Robert Covington, Daniel House, guys like that on the edges, right? That are not valued anywhere around the NBA and just sort of picked up and they became something. So maybe that's the transition they need to make and try to get rid of these guys' salary if they can, and then try to bring guys as reclamation projects.
How much do you guys think Philadelphia's salary cap is for next year? Like, how much do they have on the books right now?
They have to be top five in the league. So I'm going to go with $141 million.
Raj?
I'm going to say closer to like 128 to 130.
Oh, Raj, you're so optimistic. $147 million. My God. Tobias Harris is going to make 33.5. Joel Embiid, 29.5. Ben Simmons, 29.25. Hoo-wee. Tobias Harris, what a deal he struck last year. What a good agent Tobias Harris has. That's all I can really say. Good for him. $180 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I really do think that Elton Brand has shown his inexperience at management. It's kind of one of those classical invest early, save your job, but screw the franchise over in the long term.
Yeah, it's not.
I think some guys make moves and then they just can't get out of them, right? Like, he traded for Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. And who really knows why Jimmy Butler left ultimately, right? But at the same time, Tobias Harris was a free agent at the time. And, you know, he traded a lot for Tobias Harris. And since Jimmy's leaving, he felt like he had to salvage what happened at the trade deadline. That's why he signed him ultimately. Like, Tobias Harris is a good player. Just like his market, I don't think he would have made that much money in the market overall from another team. But that's just the way. It's just the way free agency works, though, right? You got to pay these guys.
You mean Tobias Harris wouldn't have made superstar money on the free market on his own? Come on, man. Of course not. No, no one would have paid him.
Right? Because teams get desperate after they lose out on the guys they were going after originally. And they have cap space, and they got to spend it somewhere, and they got to make their fans happy. They got to make their ownership happy. So that's why these guys get such huge deals.
Hey, man. Charlotte's still in the league. Last I checked.
Yeah, that's like the NBA dumping ground right now. Like, everyone talks about trades. They're like, yeah, Charlotte will take this guy back. Charlotte's going to take this guy back because they really have no other roster. Like, they have two guards who are okay. They're good. I mean, the other team is like Detroit. Detroit really has no NBA roster right now. And they're another NBA dumping ground once they trade Blake, or you think they would trade Blake anyway.
Let's get Blake to the Sixers.
All-power forward team.
Last the ultimate New York stretch four.
Oh, man. This team, what a mess. What an absolute mess. You know, we did a lot of hypothetical trades last week, so I want to run one past you guys right now. What if you put Al Horford up for Andrew Wiggins straight up? The Golden State Warriors would get, you know, a veteran big man, runs the floor decently well. Obviously, he's a great defender. I'm assuming he can still shoot. He's only 34, right? Like, he's old, but he's not that old. And on the other hand, the 76ers got a young, dynamic guard, guy who can run the floor. Obviously, Ben Simmons needs those kind of players to run with him, right? Decent shooter, not great. But the key is that he wouldn't be the second or second option.
Come he's on. Decent. He's a decent open shooter. I'm not saying he's good.
Oh, my God.
Wiggins? Are you kidding me? Come on,
he's
man.
Terrible.
No, he's not terrible.
He's awful. Awful. He's one of the worst jump shooters in the NBA in terms of mac like volume guys. He's one of the worst. And he has he's got 3 years left in his deal. So he's got one more year than Horford. And he might actually be a worse fit than Horford.
Yeah.
So you're bringing in a worse fit at more money. I don't understand what's going on right now.
How is he a worse fit?
He can't shoot. At least Horford can shoot the ball when he's at center, you know? He can actually space the floor a little bit.
You mean Al Horford, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid is a better fit than Andrew Wiggins with those two? Are you kidding me?
Horford is a better shooter than Wiggins.
It doesn't mean he's a better fit. It doesn't mean he's a better fit.
Wiggins is not a good NBA player. At least Al Horford has shown that he can be a good NBA player.
Relax.
On most teams.
Relax. Al Horford is not getting the playing time to prove that he's a good NBA player anymore. And he won't get that playing time because he's behind Embiid.
He will get that playing time when he's on Charlotte.
Okay. I guess you're right. Like, I don't know what to say to that. Bring in Nicholas Batum for Al Horford. Here we go.
You know, Batum might be a better fit than Wiggins.
Yo, Raj,
he's got 1 year left on his deal, okay? Wiggins has three.
Raj, talk to your man. I'm out. I can't do this.
You know what?
I'm all in on the Nicholas Batum reclamation project.
No, my God, please. I think Josh has lost his mind when the Raptors were reportedly looking to go to Buffalo or Kansas City or Louisville.
Can you imagine the Raptors bringing the BLM bus through Kansas City? Oh, my goodness. They may not survive.
Yeah, that's really funny, actually. They gotta send a fake first just to see how it goes. Gotta do a test run.
Oh my God, that bus is gonna get blown up.
You just gotta run like an escalator or something. Or like a Yukon and just run it through and see what happens. Just a black.
The worst part is, like, once it gets blown up, like, Trump is somehow gonna win Antifa.
Must have been coached with the Chinese flu.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. Raj, how optimistic are you about these Sixers next year? Like, give me a potential place in the standings. Obviously, there's a lot to change, but, you know, give me something.
If you want me to be optimistic, I think they still have two, I would say, players entering their prime that are mismatches. And if used correctly, if they can work together on the court, that's two superstars that most teams don't have. That's two players that, if they're playing at their best, are top 10 NBA players. So, and both defensively great. So I think there's hope because you have the core. Obviously, you need to pick up shooters. And again, Daryl Morey has done a great job of finding people to put around pieces. He did that with Harden in the Rockets. And every year, they were able to get some good shooters, players that worked well with him. They were able to make some trades and really like kind of squeeze the rest of their budget out. And honestly, they had great regular seasons. They weren't fun to watch, but they were effective. And again, two good players, that's more than most teams have.
I'm going to put this out in the universe. Things are going to change for the Sixers once they rehire Sam Hinkie. They are going to have like the most energetic restart of a team in a long time once Hinkie comes back in the fold. Like, the fans are going to be pumped up, even though they're not going to be at the games until March or April. But once Hinkie comes back and they make a few trades, this team is going in the right direction. Because, you know, Daryl Morey knows what he's doing. That's the biggest thing. You have to have somebody at the helm that actually knows what they're doing. He's a top five GM. He's basically taking over Elton Brand's job. And I think that Elton Brand's, you know, going to be long for another team very shortly. But having somebody at the helm that actually knows what they're doing and has a vision is massive. And I think that their turnaround is going to be a lot quicker than what people think. And free Sam Hinkie.
Hey. Brian Colangelo knew what he was doing with his burners, okay? He just got caught. That's not his fault.
And then he blamed it on his wife.
Yeah. Big collar Colangelo. Here we go. Let's take this to Houston, guys. I want to talk about, you know, this front office is just doing a complete rebuild. Mike D'Antoni left. Obviously, Daryl Morey we just talked about. And they brought in Dallas Mavericks assistant coach Steven Silas. Son of LeBron James's first head coach, Paul Silas. How about that? NBA world, just sticking around. Josh, do you know much about him? I mean, I heard that he's like one of the offensive cogs for the Mavericks offense, obviously, last year. And, you know, they were obviously a historically good offense, right? So, I mean, we're talking about someone who had a lot to work with and might not be pressed to play the same way that Mike D'Antoni did with James Harden and Russell Westbrook last year.
Yeah, this might be the beginning of the end of the Harden era. You know, Steven Silas, he seems like a pretty good fit there in terms of, you know, offensive side of the ball with what he was able to do with, you know, Dallas and Rick Carlisle. But at the same time, he's expecting James Harden to run a lot of pick and roll and motion offense, sort of like what they did with Luka. There's a lot of like dribble handoff action. There's a lot of action to where, like, you get Luka on the move, which is not something that James Harden has been used to the last 5 years. So if Harden actually buys in, I think this could work okay. I've never liked the Westbrook fit there, and they really have to find a big man, obviously, to at least soak up some of the minutes there so P.J. Tucker doesn't die halfway through the season. But overall, I don't know. This team isn't really going anywhere because they have no options to really improve their team based on what they've done with their contract situation lately and, you know, re-signing Eric Gordon to a crazy number. PJ Tucker wants a contract extension, which he's probably not going to get. He's probably going to be long for another team. So this might be the last year of the Harden era.
Raj, did we just blow it up? It sounds like this Rockets team is done.
Honestly, I'd still give it a shot. I think, again, they have Harden who is an amazing player and he's been effective, not so much in the playoffs, but hey, you know what? A new offensive system, a new voice. They have some pieces. Again, I agree with almost everything Josh said. I just don't think this will probably be the end of the Harden era. I think that they're probably still going to want to have a star in that team. And I think Harden's quite content with Houston. And I think they just reshape, rebuild, retool, and give it another go. And right now, Houston's probably the fourth or fifth best team in the West. They're not like one or first or second like they were when they were battling with Golden State. So the Clippers, the Lakers, of course, the Warriors should be ahead, the Nuggets, even probably the Jazz are on par with the Rockets. So the Rockets just got to rebuild.
What if we
can't retool? That's the problem.
No.
Yeah, you can't. Nobody to trade.
Josh, I got this. What if we send Al Horford to the Houston Rockets?
Oh, my God. Here we go.
And then in return, you send possibly the worst fit ever, Russell Westbrook, to the 76ers.
Oh, my God. That would be something. That would actually probably improve Houston, too.
Oh, it would be great for Houston. Are you kidding me? You mean you get rid of Westbrook and you get a big man? Come on.
Big man who can shoot.
And play defense. And in return, you know, the 76ers get, well, they get a shooter who's probably as bad as Ben Simmons, but doesn't know that he's as bad as Ben Simmons.
Yeah, you know what? Going back to Charlotte again. I think we should trade all these players who are most likely on the market all to Charlotte. You can make a pretty good team there. You know, Westbrook, Blake Griffin, Horford. Who else? Andre Drummond, maybe? Have him as a backup?
Ooh, Andre Drummond. No, Andre Drummond's going to opt into his $30 million in Cleveland this year, man.
He's still a trade target, though. Kevin Love. There you go.
Oh, Kevin Love needs a new team. I want him out of Cleveland, man. That guy's too good to be rotting away there. It's a damn shame.
Oh, yo. Kevin Love for Russell Westbrook. Who says no?
Huh.
That's actually pretty good.
Huh. I think Russell Westbrook says no to going to Cleveland. But other than that, I think I like it.
Yeah.
damn, yo. That's actually pretty good. Contracts are similar.
You're going to have Kevin Love playing center, shooting 23s a game? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't trust him to play any defense, so that doesn't help them with that. But offensively, I mean, that's perfect. He can just stand and shoot like he did with LeBron. Spot up in the corner.
I love it.
Not bad. Not bad, Josh. Not bad. But then, you know, Russell Westbrook's going to stop Kevin Porter Jr. and Colin Sexton from developing. Sorry, man. Cleveland guard's got to eat.
Can you name, like, 7 players on that roster?
Well, I just named 2. Tristan is still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now he's a free agent.
This year?
Yep.
Oh, get him to Houston.
He's on Kardashian Island right now.
Who else is on that team? Chetty?
Yeah,
Sebi Osman. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we got like 4. Oof. Oh, Deli's back there.
Yeah, Dellavedova, sorry.
Yeah, Deli's back. Man, that's it. That's all I got. Aside from Drummond and Kevin Love. So realistically, we can't name 10 players. That's bad. Try doing that for Detroit.
Don't forget Nance.
Oh, Larry Nance. Wow. Tough team. That's a shame. All right. I think we got to hit this real quick before we sign off here, guys. As, you know, Toronto fans, I got to address this real quick. Or one of you got to address this. This is up to you guys. Raj, I'll let you have this one. What do you do with Terrence Davis? obviously, we saw the reports coming out of the New York Post this week that he was charged with assault. It was a domestic assault abuse case with his girlfriend in New York. Not looking good for our young undrafted rookie here in Toronto, but I don't know. What do you do with a guy like this? Because on the one hand, there's so much potential. But on the other hand, Josh has coined this team as Spurs North, so you can't have that kind of smoke for you, right, Raj?
Yeah, see, as much as I loved watching him play, I think that's just a distraction that the Raptors don't need. They're trying to build themselves into a really reputable organization. Good on him as a player, but terrible decision-making off the court. He has to know that that's unacceptable, whether he's a professional athlete or not. And you know what? He has to pay the price for his actions. And I do think, as a basketball player, the Raptors are going to lose in this situation. I think Terrence Davis as an individual is losing. And honestly, he's probably going to regret this decision because he had a very good situation for himself in Toronto, especially with the Raptors potentially not re-signing Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry looking to retire in the next couple of years. I'm not saying he would have had the keys to the Corvette, but I think he would have had a good chance of having some key minutes. And he was a second team all rookie and being undrafted. That's quite an accomplishment. So honestly, just an idiot. Again, he did something that's just stupid, unnecessary. And honestly, the Raptors should do the right thing. And, you know, unfortunately I have to cut him.
So there's 2 things here. First thing is Masai said in the past, when he's been asked about training for certain guys, that the Raptors really value character players. So that leads me to believe that he probably will get cut. The second thing is, on that note of being cut, I think he has to be cut a day before the draft. That's when his contract guarantees for the next year. So I think it's November 17th or so. That's the date, or that's the up-to date to where the Raptors can decide what they want to do with him. You know, selfishly, I hope that they hang on to him and see what happens with this, because obviously it's innocent until proven guilty, but obviously with what he's been charged with, it's a pretty serious thing. So I fully expect him to cut the guy. But again, selfishly, I hope they hang on to him, because he's really worked his way into a role with the Raptors from being undrafted and being a guy who just exploded out of the scene in the summer league to being a rotation player for, you know, what was potentially a title contending team. So he does have a lot of potential, and he's got a lot of the tools you need to become an NBA starting player. So I don't really know what's going to happen with him in the future, but it's a really tough situation for both sides right now.
Yeah, my bad. I said it's a domestic abuse situation. I don't know if it's actually domestic or not. It just says it was a female. And he's facing 7 charges. 2 counts of assault, harassment, endangering the welfare of a child, and criminal mischief.
What the? I heard they slapped somebody's phone out of their hand.
I don't know. That's what I just saw.
Again, I think the report was that he slapped a woman that he was in a relationship with, and then he ended up slapping her. So that is, again, just unacceptable. He has to know better. He's going to suffer the consequences of his actions. And again, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Raptors cut him.
He showed some bad judgment in the past as well. Like when they first got to the bubble, he cut a hole in his mask, was walking around campus with a hole in the mask for a couple of days until the Raptors management talked to him about this. So maybe he's not the brightest tool in the shed, or whatever you want to call it.
What? How did I not hear about that? That's so absurd.
It was him and Dwight. Dwight said, "What's the point of the mask when we're in quarantine anyway?" And then Terrence Davis cut a hole in his mask and was walking around campus for a couple of days. So,
Man. Oh, yeah, I'm all out now. You had me at it was him and Dwight. That solidified my position. I'm good. On a much brighter note, let's bring back Jeremy Lin to this Raptors team to play that third string point guard position.
Yeah, he's much smarter.
Yo, you see those runs? He's out there in those side runs with Montrezl Harrell. It looks good. I mean, generally,
everyone always plays up those runs like that's going to be a precursor of what's going to happen during the NBA season. Like Ben Simmons shooting fadeaway threes.
Yo, the funniest part is watching them and then realizing that they're not the gyms they're playing in are like the gyms that we play in. You know what I mean? They look like high school sized gyms or college gyms at most. Like, what? You're taking like 4 steps and you're across and you're basically at the foul line. What is this? Come on, man.
And nobody's playing any defense except against Devin Booker.
poor Devin Booker. All right, well, I guess that's it. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, other major podcast platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. Until next time. Peace.